Sweet. You guys having a good day? Having a good week? Yeah? I got my elk at the beginning of the week, so I've had a good week. So it's good, right? I got that accomplished. Now I can move on in life. Other things to do now, right? So, no, it was good. So let's pray, and we're going to jump right into this thing. Father God, we come before you right now. Lord, we ask that your Spirit would speak to our hearts. Nobody needs to come and hear me. They need to hear you. And so, Father, we ask that you would just guide us and lead us, that you would cut to the quick, that you would help us to grasp and understand what it is that you desire out of our lives. Father, we want to be obedient children. We want to walk in love. And at the same time, we so desperately need to know your grace and your comfort and to feel your hope. And so, Father God, I ask that you would do exactly that. You are all-powerful, almighty, all-knowing. You know where each one is right now in this room, and each one of our kids are. And so, Father, I ask that your Spirit would speak to us in the way that we need to hear it. We lay it all before you in Jesus' name. Amen. A couple years back, there was a young couple that me and Sasha took out to dinner, and we wanted to get to know them. And we sat down at dinner, and as we were, you know, starting to ask questions and getting to know them, the gentleman, there was some, I can't remember if it was football or baseball or what it was, but there was something on the TV in the restaurant, and it had caught his attention. And for the whole dinner, he probably looked at me and Sasha maybe once or twice. He was just glued to that TV. I mean, it was just there. And so you would ask questions, and they'd just be really dead answers. You know what I mean? Because his attention was just somewhere else. After that meal, we walked away, and we went, okay, that was totally pointless. You know, it's like we went out, we had this evening, here it goes, we're going to have this special time with this couple, and there's no engagement. It's just kind of frustrating, you know? Have you guys ever experienced that? Where you want to engage in somebody and you want to know, and yet there's just kind of this wall. The strangers, and as soon as she says something about New Zealand, all of a sudden it's like, oh, I want to hear about New Zealand, you know. And, oh, yeah, okay, they're all of a sudden interested and they're engaging. Now, it's one thing to have those kind of relationships and experience those kind of things, because they're really, in my opinion, they're really frustrating. I think it's another one. When we look at it, and since we're talking about seasons of our spiritual life, where we become disengaged with what the Spirit has. When we become numb and complacent. When we get to the place where we feel like, I've been there, done that, seen it. When we get to that place where it's like, no big deal, you know, I'm a believer, but, you know, whatever. When we get to the place where it's not in our heart and our passion to know what it is that God wants for us in our ministry or in our life or where we're headed, where we get to that place where we're willing to actually settle for the status quo of a spiritual walk compared to actually living something that's vibrant and real, that is motivating and challenging. These are the things that can often really distract us, and to be honest, I think is maybe one of the saddest places in all these seasons that we're talking about. And I feel like, this is my impression, I feel like we are now entering into a stage across America where that's becoming very, 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 very prevalent. I think coming out of COVID, where people got detached and they began to go, well, they were just going to church anyways for the service and they weren't really doing much anyways. And so then it's like, oh, I'm not really part of church anymore because it really didn't change my life. Chasing turtles, and we're doing all sorts of fun things, and it was awesome. And then all of a sudden, both of us were kind of like, we don't know where we're at. And so we pointed at each other, and we decided to go up on the surface. And we got up on the surface, and we looked out, and the beach was like literally miles away. And we had no idea we had swam so far away from everything because it was a slow fade. We just lost perspective. I think when we become numb spiritually, when we become complacent spiritually, we can find ourselves in that spot. And the reality is it's better to find yourself in that spot and begin to figure out what you got to do to get back than to stay underneath the water and be oblivious to all of it. I want to start with some scripture here. In Revelation chapter 3, Revelation chapter 3, looking at verse 14. This is the church of Laodicea. And this is kind of it's the last church that the Spirit is speaking to here. And it is kind of a sad commentary, to be honest. Starting in verse 14. To the angel of the church of Laodicea write, these are the words of the Amen, the faithful and the true witness, the ruler of God's creation. I know your deeds. You are neither cold or hot. I wish you were either one or the other. So because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I'm about to spit you out of my mouth. The reality that the Spirit would say to a church, listen, what are you doing? You're complacent. You're neither on one side or the other. You're just blah. You just exist. Spiritual numbness. Now, I want to be real careful here because I think there are seasons in our life that we go through that we need rest or we need to recoup. We've gone through some kind of trauma, or we've gone through a period where we're high on the mountain and we've seen God deliver incredible things and the fire comes down and all this incredible stuff, but then there's always a valley afterwards, a place that we have to regain because we can't always live on top of the mountain. And I'm not talking about that recoup, that area of rest when the disciples come back and Christ says, come with me, let's get away to a quiet place. Those things need to happen in our life. There's times of tragedy. There's times of understanding that God will put us on sabbatical, so to speak, where we are waiting for Him to be fruitful again in our life. And I get that. I think that's very different than the attitude of being complacent. The attitude of just not caring anymore. To get to a place where it's like, man, I've been there, done that, seen that, I don't care. To get to that place where it's like, I just don't want to put the energy into it anymore. That's where it gets sad. And that's where Laodicea finds themselves. In this place where they don't care, or it's whatever. But notice what he says after this. Looking here at verse 17. He says, you say, I am rich, have acquired wealth, and do not need a thing. But you do not realize that you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. Complacency sets into our Christian walk when we think we have arrived. when we get to that place where it's like, well, I know my scripture. I don't really need to read the Bible anymore. I've done my job. I've served here and there. I don't really need to get involved in anything again. Where I don't really want to put out, because if I put out and get involved in that, well, that's going to take my time. And, you know, Netflix really has got this really cool series right now, and I just don't care. And we kind of look at it, and it's like all of it's inconvenient. And all of it takes effort. And the crazy thing about it is, as you guys can recall, Christ said, if you're going to be my disciples, you've got to carry your cross. But we as believers here in the United States, at least, I don't know about other countries, but I think it's prevalent in the United States, we are always constantly seeking comfort. Aren't we? We're constantly seeking a place where I am not challenged, where everything's status quo, where everything's safe, because I don't want risk. I don't want tragedy. I don't want to work hard. That all takes effort. And I don't want to give effort anymore because that's tiring. Right? You know, you get to that place where it's like it's easier to sit in the lazy boy than it is to actually get up and go do something. And as soon as we find ourselves in that spot, we get ourselves in trouble. We don't get to see what God is doing in incredible ways everywhere else. We feel like we've finally arrived. I've met so many believers, and it really saddens my heart, that have gotten to a place where it's like, nah, I grew up in the church. I've heard so many sermons over the years. I know my Bible, and I'm good. They're really not active in anything. They're really not serving anybody. They're kind of indrawn, and they just take care of their family, and they don't actually love anybody outside their family anymore. They just kind of sit in a place where it's like, no, we've arrived. Why would I do anything beyond this? Why would I stretch myself to be in a place that's outside my comfort zone? And then what happens is, as they grow into that, they get to a place where they're so settled in that that they become critical of anybody else. And they become negative to a place where they would rather find fault and talk about politics or things that really don't matter than being able to actually engage in what God is doing in the kingdom. And we become numb to what the Spirit says to us. It's funny because we think we've arrived. What does it mean to you guys to be spiritually rich? To really get to that place where it's spiritually rich. See, for me to get to a place where it's like, man, I've arrived, it's probably the opposite of actually being rich. There's a thing about longing and seeking and desiring and being in the presence of God where I am needy, where I'm actually feel more rich and more satisfied and more in tune with what God has. Isn't that weird how God does that? He always takes things and makes it the opposite of how we think about stuff. You know? You want victory, I'll give you death. You know? You want riches, you give it away. He turns everything in the opposite. And I think this place of being content comes in a place of actually needing Him. Because that's where I'm finally fulfilled, because He meets me when I seek Him. Compared to getting to a place where I'm in my comfort zone and I don't need anything anymore, and I get like Laodicea that thinks I'm rich. I've arrived. But yet I do not realize that I'm wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. I only think about that for a second. He talks about this wealth, he talks about this clothes, and he talks about seeing. So, in other words, this wealth, if you think about Scripture, the wealth talks about where our treasures are at. The true wealth is not the money and possessions of this world. But true wealth is those things that are eternal. When we think about this clothing and being in white robes compared to being naked and shameful, it's talking about character. It's talking about the essence of who I am and actually walking in a place where my identity is found in Christ and I am not this wretched, shameful individual. Being able to see spiritually. I don't know about you guys, but I wish that I could see spiritually so much more than I do. Because God is at work, right? And His hands are constantly doing things around us. And His glory is constantly being revealed around us. That's what the Scripture tells us. And every so often, you'll stop and you'll concentrate on those things and you can see it. But the amazing thing is when you don't concentrate on it, it's so easy to miss it. So there's these three things that he brings out here. True riches. Look at this last little part here in Revelation chapter 3, verse 18. Spirit says, I consult you to buy from me gold refined in the fire so that you can become rich, and white clothes to wear so that you can cover your shameful nakedness, and salve to put on your eyes so that you can see. Now, I read you that piece of scripture right there. Now, think about this right now. He is saying, I got it for you. I got it for you. In other words, it's simple. It's like we look at it and go, well, I want that. But sometimes we feel like, okay, how am I going to manipulate this? And it is Christ in the Spirit is saying, I got it for you. Do you want it? See, the only thing that's going to break complacency is the mindset of going, okay, I'm done with this. No longer am I going to live in comfort zone. No longer am I going to just be satisfied not being involved. No longer am I going to put off what is priority and put those things off and say, that doesn't matter to me anymore. To be able to realize, no, I need to make a decision. And the reality is that Christ will meet you in that. To be able to meet you with these things, to be able to help you process and walk through this. So let's look at a couple of these things. Matthew. Chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, looking up here in verse 19. Do not store for yourself treasures on earth, where moth and vermin destroy, and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourself treasures in heaven, where moth and vermin do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Interesting fact about me. I think it's an interesting fact at this age that is coming along. Interesting fact about me, I have never had anything stolen from me in my life. Isn't that weird? I have never had anything stolen from me in my life. And then it dawns on me, never had anything worth stealing. Perspective. But here it is, look at this. Store up treasures for yourself in heaven. And where your treasure is, that's where your heart is, right? I mean, in other words, the things that we long for, where our heart goes to, those are the things that we truly treasure. And what we truly treasure, what we long for, what our heart is for, that is actually worship. You get that? That's what worship is. Worship isn't just singing. We sing because our heart longs to be in the presence of God. We sing because it reminds us of who He is and what He's done. And we go, yes, I agree, and He is holy, and I cry out to Him, and we long for that. And it stirs in us this heart and our passion and our emotion because that is what worship is. So what we long for is what we worship. If we long for comfort, then in all reality, we worship our own self-gratification. when we long to be in the presence of God, that means risk. That means challenge. Nobody really wants that. Some people do. But most of us would go, too much effort. Somewhere along the lines, we have to check our heart. What are my priorities? I'm at this stage in life now that my kids are no longer at home. Becca's come back, but still, she's got a boyfriend, so she's no longer at home. They're gone. When they were younger, they were there. And so it was like, man, they're here, and so I get to see them at night, and we have dinner together, and I get to invest in them, and I get to be part of their life, and it was awesome, and I loved it, and now they're gone. And so this reality comes in now where it's like, okay, dang. If that's a priority in my life, what do I need to do to be able to step out of my comfort zone and actually invest in them? The sacrifice of my time or sacrifice of other things in order to be able to engage. Everything worthwhile takes effort. So I have to be able to make that simple priority in my own mind over my kids. How much more spiritually? Because since I am born again, it's awesome. So I have the Spirit inside me that has this longing and this awakening. But to be honest, everything spiritual, it does not fall into habit or easy process. Because the crazy thing about the Spirit is the Spirit is constantly working on our character, constantly working on who we are, constantly working on our mind and our attitude. And so everything takes effort. And so there's a bit of me that has to be able to go, what kind of priority? Where is my mind at? What is it that I am going to seek? Because if I'm truly going to seek after the Lord, if I'm truly going to seek after what He has for me, that's how I begin to store up my treasures, because that's where my heart is at. So when I long for the things of God, that what God is doing is my treasure. When I long for the things of the world, well, that's my treasure. So being able to stop and realize, where is my heart at and how do I pursue what God really has for me? Here's a crazy, crazy story that Christ tells. You can find it in Luke. It's chapter 16. I'm only going to give you a verse because the story is really kind of wild. What happens is the servant who is taking care of all his master's money and his affairs, the master says, hey, I'm going to fire you. You're pathetic. You know, yeah, I'm going to fire you. And so the servant looks at him and goes, oh, shoot, okay, I'm going to lose my job and I'm going to lose my place. I'm not going to have an income and I'm going to be out in the streets and I'm too old to dig ditches and I don't want to beg for money. So you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to change some of the bills that are owed to my master. So these people that owe my master will actually find favor with me and I'll have a place to stay. So he's shrewd. And he cheats his master in order to be able to win favor with these other individuals. It's like I say, it's one of these weirdest stories that Jesus tells. And Jesus talks about how shrewd we are, and then he says these words right here in verse 9. I tell you this, use worldly wealth to gain friends for yourself. So when it is gone, you will be welcomed into eternal dwellings. See, there's a spiritual connotation to this, that God is the master. He is giving you stuff to steward. And He actually wants us to use it to love and influence other people. To use our talents, our gifts, our time, to actually invest in those that need it, to love on them and build relationships, because relationships are actually eternal. This is actually God's work for us to love other people. It's a crazy story, but when you begin to look at it and go, okay, what's the point? What are you? Is he endorsing being shrewd and stealing? He's not endorsing being shrewd and stealing. What he's saying is, hey, if you're smart enough to figure this out, to be able to take care of yourself, realize that there is an eternal thing that you need to be taken care of too. And that eternal thing that you need to be taken care of is by using your worldly possessions now, using your worldly stuff right now in order to do God's work for him for eternity. To be able to influence and love and help others. What a different way of thinking. Instead of how do I just gain more for myself? How do I just take care of my needs? How do I just make it comfortable for me? How do I get to that next spot where I have the best vacation and I don't worry about other things? To be able to live, to help and bless others. What about clothing? Talking about clothing being part of our character and who we are. I think Galatians chapter 5, verse 6 sums it up so well. The first part of this may be a little confusing to you. So for in Christ Jesus, neither circumcised nor uncircumcised have any value. So in other words, whether you're part of this group or part of that group, it doesn't matter. Whether you're Jew, whether you're Gentile, that's not the issue. Whether you are Methodist or Baptist, whether you're Presbyterian or Catholic, that's not the issue. That's not what does it for anybody. It doesn't matter what group you're part of. It doesn't matter what rituals you do. It doesn't matter. That's not the issue. And here's the issue. He cuts right to the throat. I feel like he sums up the great commandment right here in the simple little verse. The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself in love. What an awesome statement, right? I can do that, right? That's an awesome statement. The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself in love. My faith is my longing and fear and admiration and my joy and my love towards God and Jesus Christ, my Savior. That is my faith. And my faith is seen through my love. Because if this has really happened here, I've experienced love and grace that is beyond recognition. And if this has really happened here, the more my faith is really tuned into it, the more I realize the God, the creator of the universe, recognizes me, cares about me, sees me and calls me his own. The more I grasp that and can walk in that faith and that belief, the more I can turn around to those that treat me wrongly and harshly and still love them. Because I realize God's had grace for me, I got to have grace for them. God's forgiven me of all this stuff that where I've rejected or where I haven't walked in faith or where I've been miserable, and yet he still loves me. Then the least I can do is love others. The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself in love. We're called the greatest commandment is love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, and mind. And the second is like it to love others. The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself in love. What a simple, I love it when it's simple. You guys like it when it's simple? I mean, that's as simple as, it's pretty much as simple as it gets. There it is, faith. This is the only thing that counts is faith expressing itself in love. If I can walk in that, the scriptures is so clear. That love and faith, those two combined in so many different passages, build my character, build who I am, build the way that I walk, way I handle people. It becomes a definition of who I am. I no longer have to be shamed. I'm no longer walking in a place where I think I got it all together because I know the reality humbly before God of who he has accepted me, but at the same time, I've experienced love and can give love. To be able to be covered by his grace and to see him at work in the midst of all these things. It's the other one. To see him, to truly see with spiritual eyes. I'm going to turn over here to John chapter 4. John chapter 4, verse 32. But he said unto them, this is Jesus speaking, I have food to eat that you know nothing about. And his disciples said to each other, could someone have brought him food? This is after he just talked to the woman at the well, the Samaritan woman, and she goes back into town. And the disciples are trying to figure out what's going on. And then he says this to them in verse 34. My food, said Jesus, is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Don't you have a saying? It is still 4 months until harvest. I tell you, open your eyes and look at the fields. They are ripe for harvest. Even now the one who reaps draws a wage, and the harvest a crop for eternal life, so that the sower and the reaper may be glad together. Christ challenges him, says, hey, listen, he's talking about this food because they went to go get food, and he came back, and he's like, oh, I'm good. It's like, what? You know, I had food you guys don't know anything about. In other words, my soul is satisfied. I have engaged in what God has me. I have been doing my Father's work. And they're confused. And he says, well, open your eyes, the opportunities. This is where I say, I wish that my eyes were more open more than they are. Because it's so easy to go through life and do what's in front of you and to have your to-do list in the morning and here's my check-off things and da-da-da-da-da-da. It is so hard to put that to the side and go, God, what are you doing? God, and this person that I just ran into in this conversation, what is it that I need to be aware of? God, in my interactions, in my interruptions today, are they interruptions or actually God-appointed times? How do I change things around to start realizing that God is at work and he's doing things and he wants me to be observing through spiritual eyes what he's doing? Because I feel like when we can begin to have spiritual eyes, we begin to step out of the mundane. When we have spiritual eyes, we no longer are satisfied being in the comfort zone because we see God at work. I think one of the reasons why we get into the comfort zone is because we don't see him at work anymore. Everything's the same. Everything is the way it's always been. There's no difference. Why put in the effort? I put in effort and I don't see anything happen. It's easier to sit. It's easier not to get involved. It's easier just to keep it to, you know, I'm a good believer because I go once or twice a month. It's okay. Instead of being able to go, what are you doing, God? This is what Christ says later on in chapter 5. He says later on in chapter 5, verse 19, Jesus gave them this answer. Very truly, I tell you, the Son can do nothing by himself. He can do only what he sees his Father doing. Because whatever the Father does, the Son also does. That ought to challenge us. It challenges me. If Jesus looked at it and said, hey, listen, I'm only doing the things that God shows me to do. That's all I can accomplish. And we look at what Jesus did and went, oh my gosh. If only I had those kind of spiritual eyes and mind to be able to help and see people and where they were really at and how to communicate and really get to the heart of the issue of what's going on in individuals instead of being caught up in all the silliness of everything else. And if only. And yet, here it is. God is at work. He is at work right here. He's at work in some of your guys' hearts. He's doing incredible things all around us. He's at work out on the streets. He's at work constantly around us in incredible ways. Our task is to be able to see it, to be sensitive enough to the Spirit and to the Spirit's leading for us to actually engage in what God is doing. Boy, I tell you what, There's nothing sweeter. There is nothing sweeter than being able to see where God is doing something and to be able to step into the midst of it and be used by the Spirit to bring about something, change or fruit or something in somebody's life, and know that God was in the midst of doing that and putting it together at that time period for a certain reason. I tell you what, that feeds the soul like nothing else. It strengthens your faith like nothing else. It gives you a fire and a desire and a hunger for more than you could ever accomplish, because you realize it's not you accomplishing, it's just you getting involved with what God is already doing. It's not your power, it's not your will, it's not your strength, it's not your ability, it's not your righteousness. It is God doing what God is doing and us just opening our eyes and stepping in and being able to see His glory and His hand and His fingerprints all over things. Whenever I get into it, whenever I go, okay, I'm going to do this thing, and I'm going to make this thing happen, and I'm going to help this individual in this way, I make a mess of it. Oh my gosh, I make a mess of it. And then there's been certain times where it's like, here's one of the coolest ones. I'm going to share this. I hope you don't mind. Hopefully I can share it without crying. Me and Sasha, as you guys know, we needed a break, so we took off last spring and we went down and we traveled all over, you know, California and all of it, seeing all the different national, you know, parks and all that good stuff. And we're down there and we were having a great time and we're doing the stuff. And we kind of got to a part of our trip where it was like, we didn't really plan the rest of this. And usually Sasha plans out everything. And we really didn't plan out the rest of this. I'm not too sure what we're going to do next. And Sasha's like, hey, look at this. Hannah Phillips is in the same area. It's like, no way. They're going around to all the national parks. No way. I wonder where they're at. They're not very far from us. Let's go see them. So we went and saw them. And we got there, and they had their friends, and they're like, come on in. We got this place that we rented. You guys can sit. They gave us the nice bed. I think it's because we were the old folks. They gave us the nice bed, and we crashed it. I felt like little kids. I felt like, yeah, okay, Mom and Dad will take care of us, and we show up. And you know what's so sweet? It's God knew all along. He put it all together. The conversations that followed, having you here now, all He's been doing, man, I could go into a lot of detail. It's probably not appropriate right now, but the reality is this. It is so sweet when you see God do things. I could have never orchestrated that. And yet, here He does it, and He's at work, and He wants us to get involved. That's kind of the crazy part about it. He wants us to be involved. So here it comes down to this simple fact. Worship team, you guys can come up here. We have to ask ourselves, am I going to be a lazy boy Christian? Am I going to just sit and let me pass it by, know I accepted Christ as my Savior, and call it good? Or are you going to step out and go, okay, God, I recognize that my comfort, I am wretched, poor, naked, and blind. And I want to see Your goodness. I want to be covered by Your goodness. I want to be able to walk in what You have for me, to experience more, to be able to have a hunger that doesn't get quenched, but one that just burns for a desire to see You do incredible things. Be able to be hurt, and that's okay. To be able to be tired, and that's okay. To be able to carry my cross, because I'm willing to pay the price in order to be in the presence of my Savior. To experience a life beyond just the mundane normal. I am saved for eternity. I am saved from my sin. And I praise God. I am saved from a normal life. Father God, we come before you. Lord, we ask that you would help us. I think there's always seasons in our life where we seek comfort. So help us, Father. I know that there are times that you want to give us rest, and that is good, and we want to receive that rest. But Father, if we've gotten into a place of complacency, a place where we're numb, where sin doesn't break our heart, where we're not frustrated by the lostness of others, Father, I ask that you would awaken us, that your grace would prompt us, that we would hear the words of Laodicea, and that, Father, it would scare us. Father God, help us. Help us to be red hot and on fire for what you got and active for what you got, or help us to be on the other side where we are relieving and cool and we can heal. Whatever it is, but don't let us be lukewarm, complacent, numb, caught up in the football game. So, Father God, we lay it at your feet and ask that your Spirit would drive us to the place of truly being in your presence. In Jesus' name, amen.